Let's pray. Father, may you open our eyes this evening to see your victory, the victory of Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're at Jericho, and we're just going to do a bit of a recap of how we got here to Jericho. So God has delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt by the hand of Moses in order to bring them into the promised land, his land of promise. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about how God's intention was not merely to just bring them out of the land of slavery, the land of self-reliance, but to bring them into this land of promise, this land of freedom, this land of dependency upon God. However, the people rebel. And in Numbers 14, we read about the people's refusal to enter their land and the actual desire for them to return back to Egypt. And their sin is one of unbelief. They don't believe that God can take them into the land. They don't believe that God can drive out the inhabitants of that land. And so rather than a life of utter dependency upon God, they would prefer a life that they had known, a life of self-reliance, but a life of slavery. And as such, this generation never enter the promised land, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, who hold fast to the Lord. And now, once this generation has passed away, God brings his people across the Jordan into this land that he has promised. And now they're confronted with a fortified city of Jericho. And in Numbers 13, it tells us one of the reasons that the people refused to go into the land in the first place was because their cities were vast, their cities were strongly fortified. And they're facing this city now, the city of Jericho. And from a human perspective, it's kind of a fair point. Israel were not trained in siege warfare. They were not trained to deal with these situations, but their confidence was never to be found in their own strength or their own abilities. It was to be found in God. And so as we consider this fortified city of Jericho, it reads in chapter 6, verse 1, the Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Again, if we remember 2 weeks ago what we were talking about, God bringing his people across the Jordan, and how the way that God did it by drying up the Jordan was to be a sign of his continuing victory in the land. And so when the Amorites and kings west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we crossed over, their hearts sank and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. And so at this point in time, Jericho is afraid. And the best that Jericho can really do is to put on a front. Securely lock up the city. Perhaps the children of Israel will become disillusioned by this. Perhaps they'll become intimidated once again as they see this securely locked up city. They would see the impossibility of the situation and turn back. And I think very often we can find ourselves in a similar situation in our lives. I believe that when we set out, when we seek to wholeheartedly follow after Jesus Christ, that the enemy will seek to come in. He will seek to intimidate us and make us afraid and seek to cause us to turn back. And there have been times in my life where I have felt so overwhelmed by what lies ahead. When I think about the cost of what it means to follow Jesus Christ, what it is that he is calling me to, or even what he might call me to, that at such times a temptation is to shrink back, to turn away, or you know, at least just forget about it for a while. Now, I'm kind of an escapism sort of guy. If we're going to sit down and watch a film, I will go for the ludicrous action blockbuster. I don't enjoy watching films like Shawshank Redemption. I know that they're quite high on the cinematic role, but for me, it's too close to reality. I don't enjoy those sorts of films. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm a sort of escapism kind of guy. That's what I look to when I relax. And one of the things that I find hard about our days of prayer and fasting is not so much the missing of the food. Now, that's a small part, but it's been confronted with all different things in my life, things that God's highlighting, things that God's wanting to change, things that God is calling me to. You know, food's a great way of escapism. And there are times where I just want to get my mind off and sit down, watch a movie and eat a pizza. And it's a tough slog. As in, my natural inclination is to look for the comfortable life, the relaxed life. And the temptation is to turn back. But if we're serious about being disciples of Jesus Christ, he's constantly going to take us out of our comfort zone. He's going to take us out of our comfort zone and cause us to rely on him. And if we're serious about being disciples of Jesus Christ, then we are going to face battles. There are going to be battles that are ahead. But each battle is an opportunity to see the victory of Christ. And I believe it's good for us to know the impossibility of the situations. The real question is, how are we going to respond to it? You see, Satan's desire is that we see the insurmountable obstacle. And that in fear we turn back, or we just stop and make camp there, or maybe even we seek to resolve the situation ourselves. God's desire is that we see the insurmountable obstacle, not so we turn back, but so that we turn to him, that we fall on him, because there's no other way through it. Jericho was tightly shut up. There's no way in, there was no way out. There was no way that Israel could get in. It was an insurmountable obstacle. It wouldn't be overcome by their might. Now, we're not able to overcome by our own strength. But when the situation looks impossible, when the temptation comes in to turn back, God reveals whose battle it really is and who's going to be fighting. And so we read that when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And the battle belongs to the Lord. The commander of the army of the Lord had come. God was about to bring about his victory. And the victory was already secure even before the Israelites had broken camp. Remember, the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." God wasn't calling his people to fight a battle for him. Rather, he was calling them to walk in his victory. The people couldn't overcome the walls of Jericho, but God already had. And now Israel would see the walls come down. And as the walls came down, they didn't fall inwards as though Israel could break through. They didn't fall outwards as though some sort of internal turmoil in Jericho caused division in the city and it broke down. Instead, the walls were going to fall down. They were going to collapse. That it was by the hand of God bringing down the wall, bringing down the stronghold. This is what Jesus said in Luke's gospel. "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man fully armed guards his house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoil." Now, Satan's no fool. And the kingdom of darkness is not foiled by poor internal management. And some of the bravado that I see certain Christians flaunt against the devil troubles me. Yeah, as Christians, we're called to not fear the devil. In Christ, we're called to not fear him, but we're never called to mock him or to taunt him or to underestimate his power. You know, in fact, quite the opposite. We need to remember our place. The Bible doesn't teach a Tom and Jerry form of Christianity. There's nothing spiritual about that. Now, even as the children of Israel, they marched around the city walls. There's no jeering, there's no mocking, there's no taunting of the enemies, but a holy reverence for God's work. Obedience to his command. The cry of victory came at the command of God. It wasn't a shout of bravado of the people, because the battle's not ours. The battle belongs to God. As Jesus said, the only way that the strong man can be overcome is by one who's even stronger. As the scripture declares in 1 John, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And we will only live in the victory in the extent to which we abide in Christ. Because aside from Christ, we are nothing. As Stephen shared this morning, there's a need for clear communication. That it's not by our own godliness, it's not by our power, but it's by Christ and by his power. And so whilst I think I understand the notion behind a quote, the church is the hope of the world, it's used in songs. I think Spurgeon came up with it. We've got to be clear what we mean with this. Because we, in and of ourselves, we're not the hope. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the hope, and we're called to be proclaimers of that hope. Jesus being the hope in us. See, God has may have chosen to minister that hope through us, but we should not be fooled into thinking that we are anything more than vessels that are there to be used by God. Now, there's a romantic notion in some parts of Christendom that we're here to change the world for God. That we're going to do great things for God. But when you actually look beneath it, it's all hype. And there's no power of God behind it. That's not what God calls us to. It's amazing how much you can actually achieve in this life aside from God. There's no eternal significance to it. But in the short term, it can look very impressive. But such Christian bravado is just empty. It's just a dressed up form of positive mental thinking. Because what is it the scripture says? It says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Only in Christ. We're not conquerors in and of ourselves. The victory is in Christ. And to live in that victory, we have got to abide in Christ. And we can get so caught up in fighting battles for God that we miss the real battle. Sometimes we can get so caught up and busy in trying to change the world that we fail to see that God wants to change. He needs to change us first. And so before the Battle of Jericho, there was another battle that had to be won. A generation before the fall of Jericho, remember, it said the children of Israel had desired to turn back to Egypt in unbelief. And afterwards, when they admitted their sin, they sought to win that battle by their own strength, but they were beaten down by their enemies. And 40 years later, as Joshua was ready to enter the promised land, God says to him, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn aside from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. There was a battle that had to be won before the Battle of Jericho. It's the battle of today, and it's the battle of the heart. See, like the previous generation, they could have turned aside to the right in unbelief and refused to enter the land. They could have turned aside to the left in unbelief and decided that they were going to claim the land by their own strength and get the victory that way. But I believe the battle was won when Joshua fell down at the feet of the Lord and obeyed his command. That's what we need to do. We need to come to the feet of Christ. The commander of the armies of heaven, who's been revealed to us in these last days, who, having disarmed the principalities, the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Although the enemy's been defeated, God's got to bring us into that place of victory. And we're called to walk in the victory of the cross of Christ, but such requires the obedience of faith and utter dependency upon God. See, the continual temptation that we face is to run away or to sort ourselves out. But we need to persist in seeking God. See, he's wanting to bring us into the place of complete surrender. And it's then that we will experience, that we will begin to walk in his victory. So when we do face battles, let us fall at the feet of Jesus and ask him to show us how we are to walk in the victory of the cross. Now, often God will change us before he changes our circumstances. And a lot of what I've been sharing this evening is really just my personal walk, what it is that God has been teaching me, what it is that God's been showing me. Because when I see the battles ahead, when I see the cost of what it really means to follow Jesus, some of the things that he may call me to, and my heart can melt. And I can be fearful and troubled. And yet God calls me and he calls us to recognize that the battle's his. That he will bring us through in victory if we allow him. And the real battle's within. And we've got to allow God to go deep into our lives. To purge us of all that would cause us to shrink back. We get our eyes off ourselves and we get our eyes onto him. That we don't turn back, but we turn to God. When I was a little boy, I used to pray, God, make me great. And then as a younger man, my prayer was, God, enable me to do great things for you. And these days, my prayer is, God, make me a man of great prayer. Because I know that God needs to change me. I know that I need to seek him. And he's got to work his work within me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that the battle is yours. That it's not by our might or our strength. No, but that you are able. That you will bring us through. God, will you bring us to a place of brokenness? Lord, break us that we may be completely reliant upon you. That we are not people who shrink, who turn back. But that we enter into the fullness of what you have called us into. Lord, reveal our hearts. God, and will you pull us through? Or will you break us and will you pull us through? That we may walk in the victory of Christ as we walk in complete surrender to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.